Today's perek in Nach is Shmuel Aleph, perek Chof Vav. So we have, interestingly enough, come to another very important change in David's life. And each one of these changes are central to understanding the nature of the Malucha, because remember that Shmuel is about the creation of Malchut, not the story of the Malchut. And here we have the coming into being of the Malchut Shaul, with all of its innate problems. And in the previous prakim, we've had the way in which David tries to handle those problems to make sure they don't happen to him. In the last perek, yesterday's perek, we found that he nearly fell into the trap in which Shaul had fallen and was saved only by the intervention of Abigail. And as she pointed out to him, if you want to be a melech forever, which is what you need to be. In other words, this needs to be Malchut Yisrael, not just the Malchut for your lifetime. And we need for you and your Malchus to be related to the Tzor HaChaim. Then you can never do anything that would hurry your Malchut in any way. And by now assuming that just because you had two steps in the Malchut, A, you were Nimshach, so that you never wanted to act on, even though Yonatan gave you over the Malchut, he wasn't the Melech. But now, the previous parak, as we saw, came after, Shaul had given over the Malchut, in the sense of saying, look, I know that the reality is that you're going to be Melech. So at that point, you moved. Shmuel died, which assumes that now we no longer need the continued input of Shmuel to make it happen. And now you believe that you have a right to deal with all of the issues of the Malchut as if you're a Melech and make things happen. If you do that, you'll be no different than Shaul, she says to him. Let your Malchut not be sullied the way that Shaul's is. And she points out to him, people are chasing you. He ended up murdering Jews. Is that what you want to do? You want to build your Malchut on the blood of people that you asserted the Malchut over? Then it's not going to happen. And we found a sub-theme now, which is very, very contextual. It's never in the text openly. But what we have found that has gone through the whole thing, and it's come to a head in the previous parak, is the interrelationship of Yaakov Avinu with Lavan. We've had this, and the way in which he's coming back to Esav, and in which Esav has his 400 men, in which those 400 men, as the Medrash says, are given over to the Admoni of Yisrael. Naval, as the Medrash points out, is Lavan. The same letters spelled backwards. So Naval is Lavan. Even the Medrash says that what he gave to the Narim was poisoned, the same way that Lavan, the story of coming to Lavan, they attempted to poison Eliezer. Fascinating comparisons. Not only that, but we saw that the parak ended with taking away Michal, the way we had taken away Merav, and a rejection of the Chatnut of the Melech. Clearly, in these circumstances, brings us all the way back to the meeting of Yaakov Avinu and Esav, in which the difference between them was the Yeshli Rav and the Yeshli Kol. It was Shaul, who originally had attempted to make David, the one who would take Merav, to be the equivalent of Esav, which is the Yeshli Rav. In the end, the Yezocha to the Mikol, but the tearing apart of the soul of Shaul is a function of having these two daughters. And we see him. We see him actually being driven to get things for himself, which is a Merav, whereas Kabbalistically, the entirety of Malchus is Kol. You can see this in the Vayavarech David. In the Vayavarech David, we go through all of the midas, Hagidula, Gevura, Tiferes, Sunday, Tzachveahod, and now we get to Ki Chol Vashamayim of Aretz, is the transition into the Malchut through Yesod. So Mi Kol, that which comes from Kol, that's what we say, Ba Kol, Mi Kol, Kol, in Birkat HaMazon, is the blessing of the Melucha itself. Now he takes away Michal. That's the closing words. After Abigail says, I will be your Shifcha, to wash the feet of your Narim, says the Medrash, the craziest thing, and unless you are aware of this subtext, you have no idea what the Medrash is talking about. When Yaakov Avinu came to Esav, says the Medrash, and he says that I have Shor v'chamor v'shifcha, who's the Shifcha? Abigail. So clearly the Medrash is focused on this subtext. Well, this is crazy. Was Abigail after with Yaakov? But in the meeting with Naval, which was Im Lavan Garti, and that's the remiss to the Tayag Mitzvahs, the ability to face his Arba Miotish, telling those Arba Miotish, telling Esav, what do I have? And we found yesterday Abigail doing what Yaakov did to the 400 men of Esav, word for word. go in front and I'll come in back and let him see you. And weird, weird story. So she knows exactly what's going on. And this is the moment that you have to decide. You are at the instant that Yaakov Avinu was when he had to look into his own heart. How do you want to deal with this? Is it going to be allowing things to develop and meeting Esav and saying, I can wait for a few thousand years if necessary? Or are you going to fight and make it happen? And he realizes how close he had come to destroying the Malchus of Mashiach and making himself king. And that would be, never would work. That was the pain of Yaakov Avinu's own determination at this point, was that he's not going to make it happen. And he's going to allow Esav, only if he's forced into responding by fighting, that's the Shtei Machanot, is he going to fight. What's remarkable is that the Shtei Machanot of Yaakov Avinu happens to David in his relationship to Shaul. He repeats the Shtei Machanot. In one of them, he goes back to the Machane of Shaul and addresses Avner, as we saw a few days ago. And he says, how do you think I got the Beged? And Avner tells Shaul, he got the Beged because ripped off and he found it. And now he's trying to make himself into a big tzad. David now, after having been emed on what it will take to make him melech, has reached a strategic decision. We're going to see this only in a remez in his words. But his strategic decision is to kiss Shaul goodbye. In other words, he's now at the point that Yonatan thought they were at all the way in the beginning, in which they will never see each other again. This is the moment that he feels we're at, because he recognizes that Shaul's madness is leading Klal Yisrael to disaster, and they're going to be defeated. They're going to be defeated by the Plishtim, and as Yonatan understood originally, the relationship is going to end up killing him, going to kill Yonatan. And he tells this to David, just one favor, you need to swear to me that you're not going to destroy my children. Whatever happens, save them. So he really felt it was all over. David is at the stage where he knows it's all over. He knows there's no way for Shaul to ever really take him back and give him the Malchus. And therefore, what he wants to do is make it clear why this has happened, who is to blame for its having happened, and to make it known to the people that need to know why he's going to be doing the horrible thing that he does in next week, in tomorrow's parak, in which he joins the Plishtim. An astonishing thing after the whole story we had before with Achish. He needs to tell people why he's joining the Plishtim. He doesn't say it openly, but he makes it very clear. And we're going to see now how he does that. We saw as well that this interaction that he has now with Lavan was specifically on Rosh Hashanah, and that the Aseret made Teshuvah was the period in which this needed to be redefined. Remember that before this we had in Machar Chodesh the relationship of the going down, as Yonatan made a point of telling his father. Where do you think it would be on Rosh Chodesh, which is the whole remez to the Malchus, the David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayar? Obviously, he went to Beit Lechem. And this is what David said. If he accepts that, then we're okay. But if that drives him crazy, then there's not any hope. That was the Mochar Chodesh, which is so fundamental that we read it every time we have a Shabbos now that comes before Rosh Chodesh. That's how central it is to our relationship to Rosh Chodesh. The story yesterday is a description of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Bekesel Yom Chagenu, the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, in which, as the Tosfos explains, Bekesel Yom Chagenu means we don't mention the story of Rosh Chodesh. Because the story of Rosh Chodesh is only coming L'chaper al Hashem for being the Mayat Alavana. And the Miyat Alavana in the context of Rosh Hashanah is absolutely clear as central and necessary to the development of creation. And therefore doesn't require any mention of the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh. He just came out of Rosh Hashanah. And he just came out of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Vayila Aseret Hayamim. Therefore, the David that we're meeting today is a David who has accepted the Miyat Alavana completely and is absolutely going to do nothing at all to change the outcome, and needs, therefore, to separate himself from anything that Shaul could possibly give him, which is zero at this stage, realizes that his entire political manipulations of trying to get Shaul to take him back were wrong, because it wouldn't have made any difference anyway, because Shaul doesn't have what to give him. That's the point. He may be a Mashiach Hashem, but he doesn't have a real Malchus that he could give over, and therefore he wants only to say goodbye in a way that will make forever clear who was at fault and to let Shaul know that he cares. And so what happens is, astonishingly, The Zippim again go to Shaul, just as before. But David is waiting for this, you see. Last time, he needed to find out, is Shaul going to come? And how am I going to handle it? And the whole miracle happens, Shaul goes into the Mara, and this becomes something Ladoras that they remember. Wow, what an amazing miracle. This time, David is waiting for Shaul to come. So the Zippim, right on schedule, send the message to Shaul. Whoops! He's back! And we know Shaul's buttons. There's no way Shaul can hear that without all of a sudden getting turned like, it's almost like a machine. Boop! Whoops! I'm back again. It's literally a Pavlovian story. And David points out how silly it is. He already told him once. This is silly. You keep going after the fleas. Every time they jump, whoops, you're out to get him again. He's going to do this again. And so sure enough, right on schedule, Vayokam Shaul, Vayeredel Midbar Zif, with his favorite 3,000 men, Bechurei Israel, and he's off, Levakeshet Avib Midbar Zif. Now David is waiting. He's waiting for a target. Watch the words that he uses. Vayichan Shaul, Begivata Chachila Shal Pnei HaShimon Al HaDerech. David is waiting in the midbar. So David Yoshev by midbar, vayar ki vashol acharav midbara. But he needs to know he's in the right. And so what happens? Vayishlach David miraglim, vayeda ki vashol el nachon. Now he knows. Okay, everything's in place. He's really there. And this is what I've been waiting for. Instead of running away from Shaul, he is not only not going to run away from Shaul. He's going to walk right magically into the middle of Shaul's encampment and show his complete lack of concern. He's going to make an absolute joke, not only of Shaul, but this time, the men around Shaul, who are the ones that he blames for leading us to this impasse, who never allowed Shaul and him to get together again. So what does he do? Vayakum David vayavo al hamakom ashechana sham Shaul. So David gets up himself, goes to the place where Shaul is. Vayar David et hamakom asher shachav sham. The same words. Sorry? Vayar David et hamakom asher shachav sham Shaul. Vavner ben ner sar tzva'o. So David sees the words of that we find in Megillat Rut, which needs you need to know where Boaz is going to sleep. The Shaul shochev b'magal. So Shaul is surrounded by his men. He's in the middle of a circle. Ve'am chanim chonim sevivotav, to protect him. Okay, so vayan David vayomer al Achimelech Achitiv al Avishai ben Tsruya. Achi Yoav, his men, his close men, as we're going to see later, are Achimelech and Avishai. He says to them, does anybody have the guts to just walk in? Mi eredi tiel sheolamach. I want to go right there, right where they are. Vayomer Avishai, ani eredi mach, I don't care, I'll come. So if I have, I mean, you have to, the movie writes on this, Richie, come on. I mean, the movie is just astonishing, okay? So there, everybody's asleep. They walk into the machane. V'nei Shaul shochev yoshin b'magal. There he is, fast asleep. V'chanitamu chavaretz mirashotav. He's got his lamps under his head, you see. And it's put there in the ground. It's not easy to get it out. V'am shochvim sevivotav, and everybody's fast asleep around. V'avner v'am shochvim sevivotav. V'ayomer Avishai al David. This is unbelievable. We're standing here, right over the. I can't believe this is miraculous. Sigar Elohim ayom et oyiv chaviyadecha. Obviously, God has given your enemy into your hands. Let me do the honors. V'ata akenu no bechanit v'aretz pamachat lo shnevo. I won't need to hit him twice. Straight through his heart. V'ayomer David al Avishai. Don't you dare. Al tashchitehu. Ki mi shalach yadav b'mashiach Adonai v'nika. Who would dare to strike the one who is the Mashiach Hashem and come out of it clean? Vayomer David chai Adonai. I swear to God. Who was he swearing to? He says the Medrash. It's about Chokas. This, according to one man, the Omar, is viewed as one of the primal shvuas in which a person had to swear to his Yetzer. The most famous of one is Boaz. Chai Hashem Shichvi Adabok. So he had to be Mashbiah his Yetzirah. So too, David wanted so much to kill Shaul. He was just dying to just finish this up. I mean, you understand that this is torture. So he had to swear to his own Yetzirah. Another man, the Armor, says, no. The Chai Hashem is to Avishai, to warn Avishai that David will personally kill him, if that's what he does. And therefore, he says, Chai Adonai, ki im Adonai gafenu, o yamo yavo v'met, o v'melchama yered v'nisfa. Look, God will take him away, either by killing him, or his time will be up, or he's going to go down to war and lose. But Chalila li me Adonai mishloach yadi mimshiach Adonai. I will never, ever, it would make me chulin. V'ata, this is what you're going to do. And this is what, in the Lashon of the Medrash, what he was telling Avishai is, you touch him, and I will take your blood, guaranteed. And that was the Shvuah. Now what you're going to do is you're going to go, take the chanit asher mirashotav, ve'et sapachat hamayim, take now the pitcher of water by his head, v'nelchalanu. This is incredible. I mean, classic Jewish explanation of what is the water. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, Megabe Netilat Yadayim Baboker, say it was obviously his Negovaser one, right? So he's got his water now Mirashatav. Why did David take it away? Because he knew that Shaul would never walk 4 amos without his Negovaser. So he wasn't going to be able to chase him. So the two things he needed to do was to take away the spear, which could have speared him, and to make him unable to move, because he can't wash his hands. But in any event, it's a stunning scenario over here. He's got the two things that he wants to, when he wakes up, he wants to use, and now he's going to wake up and he's not going to know what's going on. Yeah, what was it? Okay, that's what a Shavuot to the Yetzer means. It means there's everybody has clarity, but they only have an instant of clarity. And that's the point. It's the response of it to that instant, and to make a Shavuot, to keep that instant as what defines you. That's what it means to be Nishba to the Yetzer. It means I know I can't handle this, but I know that I have to handle it, so therefore I make it happen by not being willing to be over on my own Shavuot. So, Vayikach David Tachanit Vetzapachat Amayim Mirashotei Shaul. Now, either this means that Avishai didn't do it. He just didn't have the guts to walk over to him and wake him up. So David walked over and did it, because he had asked Avishai to do it, right? And then it says that David went ahead and did it. So apparently, the Radak says he changed his mind, that he didn't trust Avishai to get close to him anymore, because Avishai didn't swear. So if he didn't swear, he's not going to be able to control himself, because the depth of resentment over here was so powerful in recognizing in himself the fact that he could kill him in an instant. And I mean, this has been going on, you understand, it's been destroying his life, everything that he wants, for no reason at all. The madman is driving him for absolutely no reason. I mean, can you imagine the depth of resentment? So he didn't trust Avishai, says the Radak, because even though he had ordered him, he felt he would lose his mind. He would just be unable to control himself, which is exactly what happens with Yoav, by the way. He's under direct orders from David, do not touch my son, and he kills him. I mean, in the most vicious, kills him, makes sure he's very dead, because you just can't take it. So this is not an easy situation. Or it means that Avishai did it, but since it was David's tzivoy, it was as if David had did it. Or Avishai didn't want to do it himself. But in any event, what happened is that miraculously, they had fallen into such an incredible sleep that nothing happened. Ve'in ro'eh v'yachulahem. They take it and walk away. Ve'in ro'eh ve'in yodea ve'in mekitz. Ki chulam yeshenim ki tardemat Adonai nafla alehem. They were so asleep that it was a level of sleep that could only come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was exactly what had happened in the story of Shechem, in which God just somehow puts fear into everybody, nobody moves. Over here was a tardema. And the way the Medrash points out that this is a tardema, there's a type of tardema, says the Medrash, that is hibernation. It talks about marmots. It's interesting. It says, you know how animals hibernate? These guys were in hibernation. They weren't sleeping. I couldn't wake up. That's the point of what had happened over here. Very cute medrash. There's a tardemav shena, says the medrash. There's a tardemav nivuah, where a person is like out of his mind. And then there's a tardemav amarma, which you can't wake up. And this was tardemav marmeita. These guys went into hibernation. Vayavor David ha'ever. So David goes now out and puts distance between them. That's a Aver. Vayamod al Rosh Ahar Merachot. They're not going to be able to respond instantly and kill him. Rav HaMakom B'neihem. So if they're crazy enough to try to go after him, so then he can get away. So then Vayikra David al Ha'am Velavner Ben Ner Lemor. Hello, Tane Avner. Hey, Avner. Not only wake up, boys, what do you have to say this time? Last time you had an explanation. I found it, didn't I? So I suppose I found his sword and his Negovasser lying on the ground, right? So now what are you going to say? What? Who's shouting in the middle of the night? You're going to wake up Shaul. Hey, you're a big man, aren't you, Mr. Avner? Big man. Hello, Ishata. Umi kamocha b'Yisrael. Nobody, the Medrash says, to try to move one of Avner's legs would be to try to move a solid stone wall that's 6 amas. You know, go move him. You're a big man, Avner. A big gadol b'Torah. Huh? And you have all the answers. You've always been able to explain to Shaul why he should not accept me. And look at this. Lama lo shamarta ladonecha amelech. Why is it that you didn't keep watch, Avner? One of the boys just walked in here to destroy the king. Now this is an amazing, the first remez. Who was the Achad Ha'am? Kim'at Shachav Achad Ha'am was the Melech Plishtim. So he's already letting out the fact that it was like one of the Plishtim that had just come and taken away things. We're going to see his next remez. Oh, dear me, Avner, my boy. Lo tov hadavar hazeh asher asita. Bad, bad boy. Chay Adonai ki b'nei mavet atem. You know, you really are chayav mita for failing on the job. You went to sleep. Asher lo shemartem al Adonaichem al Mashiach Adonai. Look how big your failure is. Take a look now. V'atare'e. Suppose you're going to have an explanation for this one? Eichanita Melech? Where exactly is the Melech spear? Where's the Tzapachat HaMayim? Both of which were Mirashotav. Hey, look up. Hello, here it is. Vayaker Shaul had called David. Shaul, meanwhile, is waking up to the sound of David's voice. This, again, is one of these surreal situations. Vayomer, suddenly you hear Shaul speaking in the background. Is that your voice, my beloved David? Hakochaze b'ni David. David turns to him now after speaking to Avner. Koli Adonai HaMelech, yes. My master the king, it's me. Now, can we just have this out one last time? Vayomer, lama ze Adonai rodef acharei avdo. You told me you understood that I'm going to be king. You understood that I'm the tzaddik. Me, I'm asking you again. Ki me asiti uma b'yadi ra'ah. Now listen, you're going to hear this out. Ve'ata yishmana Adonai HaMelech et divrei avdo. You have a problem. Now, where your problem comes from is not my business. You've got to deal with this problem. If you think that God is the one that's doing this to you, Im Adonai hesitcha vi, if God has turned you against me, yorach mincha, bring a korban. Or if we don't recognize us, some of the mefarshim think that he's saying, if God is punishing me by being mesit you, I will bring a carbon. Don't think that that's the point at all. He is saying to Shaul, you have a problem. Now, if your problem is that indeed there's this ruach ra'ah me'et Hashem, and you have mental problems, then I'm telling you, you better bring karbanos, do tshuva, whatever's necessary. But if this is coming from the Lord, so then deal with it with God. Don't deal with it with me. Let your intelligence at least tell you that it's your problem, not my problem. If you've got horrific, rotten, accursed people around you, referring to Avner and the other men. Im b'nei Adam arurimein, I tell you, they should be cursed to God. Arurimein l'fnei Adonai, ki gershuni hayom yistaper b'nachalat Adonai lemor lechavod Elohim acherim. For they are throwing me out today from being part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nachla here in Eretz Yisrael, telling me, go worship other gods. Gemara points out, what? Whoever said such a thing? Somebody told him to go worship other gods. Elo, we learn from here that anyone who goes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, it's as if he's worshiping other gods. And therefore, what David was saying is they're forcing me out of the country. But they weren't forcing him out of the country. How did they hear this? How did they understand this? And this is a reference to David HaMelech's repetitious use of Barzot HaChayim means in Eretz Yisrael, where people can live, as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, where you're basically dead and you're in contact only with other gods. As the Ramban points out, there are only Sarim that are in Metapel and Chutz La'aretz. There's no direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Unless you happen to be skiing.
Of course. Then you're close to the Lord on top of the mountain. So what was he telling them? This is where he is telling them, I'm telling you today, Hayom, that I am moving to the Plishtim. And I'm telling you who's at fault. You are at fault. And you are making it impossible for me to continue. I will not be part of your disastrous leading the country to hell. You are going to be defeated by the Plishtim. And I'm telling you right now that the only approach at this point is peace. You've got to make connections to the Plishtim. You know what you're doing. You're no longer functional as a Malchus Yisrael because all you can think about is this insane chasing of David. And I'm not going to be part of it anymore. Do you understand what you've been doing? I say, not my blood is going to be spilled here. Not one drop of my blood from in front of the face of the Lord. It's absolute madness what you've been doing. It's a game. Don't you say it's a game? I waited for you to come down here because I know about your silly little buttons jumping like fleas. A flea jumps and all of a sudden, yep, let's take 3,000 men and run and try to crush the flea with our nuclear weapons. This is the most insane thing. You know what it's like? It's like, so some learn Akareba Ve'arim is a partridge. So you're going partridge hunting, like the Malachim of the Goyim. So when you see the bird fly, you all got to come out like a bunch of idiots chasing the partridge. That's a brilliant thing for a Melech Yisrael to be doing.
That's like the whole Israeli army trained to throw out the Jews of the
Palestinians. Yeah, it's exactly the same feeling that you have. Let's get everybody, when it comes to that they don't know how to do. You can't do anything about the Arabs, because after all, it can't be disproportionate. But we could send the entire army to take a couple of kids out of some kind of place. It's exactly the story. And it looks exactly as hilarious and stupid. And you really feel you don't want to be part of it. And this is what he's saying. I will not be part of this army, of this malucha, of this country. And I'm telling you that that's what you've done to me. You have thrown me out of the country. That's what you've done. And therefore they should be arur. So they hear all of this. This is his announcement of a completely new strategy. He's not playing these games anymore. And he's telling them, today, I'm no longer playing your little games. Unbelievably, the Medrash says, Avner tells Shaul, listen to this one. Avner tells Shaul the perfect solution to paranoid Shaul. Obviously, we have a spy. Obviously, somebody snuck this out from inside the Machana and gave it to David. We're going to have to come down doubly hard.
He's got 400 ways to think of.
You understand that? And David understands. This is not going to make any difference. And at this point, Shaul is ready not only to acknowledge the Malchus, is ready to take David back. Not like last time. Vayomer Shaul, oi, I can't believe I did this again. Oh, God. Vayomer Shaul chattasi, shuv b'ni David, yilo ara lecha od, tachas asher yagrad nafshi ve'ilecha hayom hazeh. And says, I recognize what I've done, and I can't believe I've done this again. This time, come back with me. I promise you, I'll never do it again. You can come back to me. I'll never do anything bad to you again. I'll never harm you. I've been stupid. I've been terrible. David doesn't even respond. He says, here, take your sword back, will you? Send up a kid and I'll give you a sword. Please, take it back. Let one of the boys come, I'll give it back to him. And I'm telling you goodbye. Let God be the one to determine who is faithful over here, who is righteous. I'm not interested in responding to your games anymore, and I'm not going to be playing your games anymore. Let it be very clear. My goodbye was a goodbye that showed you I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to play your games. I'm not going to believe your cries. I have nothing to do with you anymore. All I can say is that the way that I treated you, the way I respected you, the way I cared for your life, Kein tigdal nafshi b'nei Adonai v'yatzileni mikol tzara. And what I'm about to do, what I'm about to do is a tough thing, but may God treat me with the same care that I treated you. And so Shaul recognizes that although he has asked him to come back, clearly what David was doing here was making it obvious that his choice to go to the Plishtim would be vindicated and that there was no hope in Shaul. And so instead of accepting what it was that Shaul had said, he had asked simply that one of the boys should come over and pick up the chanit, because it was clear to him that there was no one to trust. And Shaul accepts this. Vayomer Shaul el David, Baruch ata b'ni David. I give you then my blessings. Gam asot ta'ase v'gam yochol tuchal. It's clear to me that you were meant to be successful. You will do it, and you will be able to do it with grand success, just as he had acknowledged before, the Malchut. Whatever strategic decisions you make, I know that you'll be successful in them. And so instead of the Shuv b'ni David, Vayelech David l'darko, v'Shaul shav l'mekomo. It was Shaul who went back home and to what had been before.